Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please. Genesis 1. Is my mic on? Okay. Genesis 1. Let's stand, please, while I read the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. May we pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege that we have to be in a house of God. You said my house shall be called the house of prayer. Then Brother Chris just shared with us about promises that you've made. Father, I praise you and I thank you, God, for every promise. Lord, you said I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, even the end of the world. So, Father, I thank you for that great truth. And today, those that are struggling with decisions, those who are in situations with families, those that have individual problems, those that are suffering in pain themselves, those who have family members that are suffering, I pray in Jesus' name, thy will be done. Then, Lord, for all these in bereavement, I pray for them. I lift them to you the best I know how. I ask in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit, God, bring comfort to the families. And then those in the family that know not Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray to be a means whereby their hearts can be stirred, made to realize that death is a reality and that eternity is out there. And Father, I pray that you use it for your glory and your honor. Then help us here today as we try to preach. I pray for a divine touch of God. Lord, touch us to preach. May we share truth. And I pray everybody be receptive to the Word of God. Thank you for thy precious Word. Give you praise and glory for all that you do. Somebody here today that's unsaved, I pray the Holy Ghost bring conviction, draw them to Jesus. Somebody here today that's out of the will of God, I pray be the day they come, let the joy be restored unto them. Thank you and praise you in all you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I began a series on Wednesday night about these things we can know, some things we can know. And we talked about knowing that we're saved, born again. But let me back up why I'm using Genesis 1 as a springboard for this. Is in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. You have to believe that before you believe the rest of the book. If you don't believe that, you'll never believe the rest of it. So you must believe that. That's a starting point. Then Jesus said, there's darkness over the face of the earth. And Jesus said, let there be light. And there was light. And so people grope in darkness. The reason why people don't believe, they're in darkness. They need some light. And I'm glad Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And he gives light. The Holy Spirit come, bring conviction. He's given light to you so you can see. You that are saved and maybe something God dealing with in your life, he's giving you light so you can see that and what you need to do. I'm glad for the light that God gives. Again, 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I say hallelujah and praise his name. So as we try to deal with that thing about being born again, saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, that God makes a change in our lives. And Paul said, I know in whom I believe and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now, I'm going to pick up on the last part of that verse and show you into some more verses from the Word of God. Now, I'm going to use a term today that shocks some people. They don't like the term, but I'm going to try to use it biblically and the way God would have us to. It's not in the Bible, but the teaching is. I'm saved forever. We use that and we say that over and over. But you say eternal security and some people turn pale. I'm glad I have eternal security. You say, preacher, when you say that, then you're saying that you're saved forever no matter what you do. I said, I'm saved and can't get unsaved. And some people say they believe that, but in actuality, they don't. Because of the way they talk, you can tell they don't. But now I know the Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. And there's a whole lot of people never got saved to start with, and they don't have fruit they ought to have. And we look at them and they say they lost it. I've had many of a person tell me, I once was saved. I used to be saved. I know you didn't. If you ever once was, you still are. But a lot of times people never got saved to start with. And so we're going to deal with that thing. Well, why are you dealing with that? Because it's a teaching of the Word of God. You get a hold of that, it'll help you. And by the way, it does not help you to sin more. It ought to help you to sin less. God also said He chastens those that He loves. When we do wrong, we either repent or He chastens us, corrects us, gets us where we will get straightened out, or takes us, even takes people home. Some people are really saved, but they won't let God help them and straighten them out. And they get back in sin and so forth. And they nothing to look back to, that song said. Ain't nothing to look back to them as a saved person that you can enjoy like you once did. And you try to live that way, God may have to take you home. Illustration we've used over and over, but it's a good one, is the fact your children. If your children are little and they're playing in the yard and they go into the street, you know they're in danger, you'll go get them and get them out and you'll tell them why they don't need to be there. You turn around and they're back in the street, you'll get them again. But if they get back in the street again, you're going to do something with them and probably take them into the house. And God sometimes has to take people to the house because they won't listen to what He's trying to tell them. And when I say take them to the house, I mean let them die and take them on to heaven. And so the chastening of God, we must balance it out and realize that God does chasten those He loves. God does correct His own children. God does take care of His own. I'm glad He does. If He didn't correct us, wouldn't we be in a mess sometimes? We just go on and get deeper and deeper away from God. And God don't want us to get away from Him. God wants to get closer to Him. And so today, I pray that God would help us as we try to preach on this subject. That scripture I just gave you a while ago that Paul, we used last week, 2 Timothy 1:12. And breaking in on that verse, he said, I know in whom I believe, whom the person, and I'm persuaded, without a doubt, persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. They multiplied people that are set in independent Baptist churches this morning, and they really down deep inside believe they have to do certain things to stay saved. They believe they can lose it. If you say, preacher, I don't believe that, you talk to enough people, you'll believe it. You corner them, get them in the corner and ask them what they really believe about that. Well, I believe if you do, I've had them tell me, I believe there's certain more out there, you do certain things, you'll be lost. Well, no, you can't get lost. Right. Well, you're given a license to sin. No, I'm not. I'm telling you that God chastens those He loves. Anybody that wants to sin more instead of less needs a good dose of salvation. Right. Now we sin, we come short of the glory of God, we fail God. Everyone in this house have to admit they fail God every day somewhere. Amen. If you don't, you'll be sprouting wings for long. We'll be looking close. I'd like to talk to you for a while, but no, you fail God just like I do. The Bible says a foolish thought is sin. Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. So it's not getting drunk. It's not necessarily or getting deep in some kind of sin. But we fail God by different ways. But we all fail God some way, somehow. But I'm glad we can ask forgiveness, and he does forgive us. I noticed something after I got saved. I couldn't do things I did before without God dealing with me. Immediately, something I knew was wrong inside, and I needed some help. I needed some cleansing. Now, if I went on with that thing and let it go, that may get less and less. But God would not give up. God did not give up nor leave me out there. When I was out of the will of God, God helped me. Amen. Aren't you glad God helps you when you're out of the will of God? If you'll let him. And this morning, God may be speaking to your heart. I felt like, well, we preached being born again. Let's talk about eternal security and that we're saved forever. You get that? Let me ask you this. A person that believes, really believes that you can lose salvation, how can they be saved to start with? Because to believe, to be saved to start with, you've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And you have to trust him fully with all your heart and make a step of faith to believe that you're saved. Then if you believe that you're saved, how could you lose that? You done believed. I believe it. Brother Billy Mitchell said, if you believe, you keep on believing. You repent, you keep on repenting. And so we need to understand that. How could you believe that and be saved? And believe, if you believe you're going to lose it, you're not really believing you're saved. You're believing you're part saved. And you can't be part saved. You got to be always saved. Amen. If you're not always saved, you're just not part saved. You're lost and without God. And so I hope today we can give you some scriptures that will help you. And I know there's some people that really get upset about, I'm not saying in this congregation right here, I don't know whether they are or not, but there's people in our churches today that get upset about that eternal security subject, but I am secure for eternity. Amen. I'm as good as delivered in heaven already. Amen. It's just a matter of where I am. I'm down here in flesh right now, but I'm in spirit. I'm with Christ. I'm hitting him, and he's in heaven, the right hand of the Father. I'm as good as there already. Say, preacher, I don't understand. I don't understand all of it. I just believe it. Amen. That I am as good as in heaven already. And you cannot lose salvation. Well, I'm going to deal with that eternal security. You go home, and you look in the mirror and say, I'm eternally saved. If you're saved. Amen. If you're not saved, you look in the mirror and say, I'm eternally lost if I don't get saved. Yeah, right. And one or the other. So we're dealing with eternity here when we talk about being saved. I want you to turn with me in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 27. I know it's a familiar verses I'm going to read here that people get very familiar with, but I want you to read them today so we'll get them down real good. In John 10, verse number 27, he said, my sheep. Now God uses sheep a lot of times to illustrate his people. Sheep need help. They need instruction. You have to watch over sheep. You can take a sheep on the other side of a hill and he can't find his way back. Now you can take a horse or a dog over there and they'll find their way back. But a sheep needs guidance, needs a shepherd. I believe that's one reason God uses sheep so much as a type of his people. We need help. We need guidance. My sheep hear my voice. That's good, and stop right there. My sheep hear my voice. We know the voice of the Lord. We've heard this illustration over and over. There's been books written about it. People preached it and said it over and over, that the shepherd can go where flocks are kept at night, and the next morning the shepherd can go by and call out to his sheep, and they'll come out one by one. They know the shepherd's voice, and they follow him. But if they're not his sheep, they don't follow him. They'll stay in the fold, wait for their shepherd to come by. That's good preaching. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's good. That's good. And Jesus is doing the preaching, by the way. That's what Jesus said. My sheep hear my voice, now I know them, and they follow me. Boy, listen to the next verse. And I give. I don't make them earn it. I don't see how faithful they are. I don't look at them about their do's and don'ts. I give, and I like it. I give unto them eternal life. Well, how long is eternal? I give unto them eternal life. Last time I checked on it, eternal meant eternal. And eternal means forever and forever and forever. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never perish. Eternal security, eternal security. Amen. Amen. If that's not it, then I'll close the book and go to the house. But it's in the book. It's what God said. I know them, they follow me, and I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Now notice this, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Hallelujah. Now how can you get better than that? How can you get more security than that? I'm in Jesus' hand. He's in the Father's hand. And Jesus said, no man is able to pluck them out. I believe what he said. Amen. Nobody's able to get me out. I can't even get myself out. Right. I couldn't get lost if I wanted to get lost. But I don't want to get lost because I'm saved. Anybody saved don't want to get lost. Anybody said, I want to get lost again, and they never got saved to start with. Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. You think different. You have the Holy Spirit living within you, and he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So if you wanted to get lost yourself, you couldn't, because he wouldn't let you. Y'all still with me? Amen. Praise God. It's a shouting ground, either a weeping ground, one or the other. It's either ground you get on, you really rejoice in, glad of, thankful for, glory, hallelujah, and praise God, or else I need to check up and find out where I am. Amen. Amen. I'm glad for that eternal security in Christ Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. Thank God for that. Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holy place, having obtained, now get this, having attained eternal redemption for us. He attained eternal, not partial, not a little bit, but eternal redemption. I'm glad for that. Now I want you to turn with me, please, in the book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter number 8. I'm going to read several verses, so hang with me. And if you turn your Bibles, you can read along with me. And Romans chapter 8, verse number 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, if you're saved, God's for you. God's for it. God wants to save the unsaved. If God be for you, who can be against you? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Now let me say, the elect of God are those who have been saved, those who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We are elected in Christ Jesus, be conformed to the sum of his likeness, election. Don't get mixed up on that. Don't get in hyper-Calvinism. We are the elect of God because we are saved, born in the family of God. Who shall lay anything in charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. That word justified, as though he never had sinned, God did that. God justified us. Who is he that condemneth? That it is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us? Now get this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But notice what I said. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hallelujah. That's good. That's good preaching too. And Paul doing that through the Holy Spirit. And here he said, for I am persuaded. Hear that word persuaded again. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That's a pretty good group of things that are being mentioned. Nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, eternal security. That's what he's saying. He said, not death, nor life, nor principalities, nor angels, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That's covering the whole lot. Nor height, nor depth. And then in case he left out something, he said, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I say hallelujah. Amen. What's going to separate me from Christ? Who's going to separate me from Christ? Glory to God. I'm in him. He's in me. And the Holy Spirit abides on the inside. And a while ago I said, I'm as good as delivered already in heaven. Now, preacher, you're make people think, well, I'm saved. I can do anything I want to. No, if you got that attitude, you're not saved. If you have an attitude, well, I'm saved, eternally saved, eternal security is mine, then I'm going to go do this, do that, do the other, and I'll be all right. If you got that attitude, you're wrong. You've never been saved, never been born in the family of God. If you're really saved, you have a desire to do the will of God and to obey God. When you do fail God, God convicts you, and makes you, and you surely don't feel good about it. So therefore, you're saved. You know it. You saved.
Amen.
You glad you're saved.
Amen.
Never saw anybody saved wasn't glad they saved. But eternal security. Don't let that phrase tire your nerves up, because you are eternally secure in Christ Jesus. What it ought to do for us is make us want to live closer to God. Make us want to draw nigh to God, he'd draw nigh to us. I'm eternally saved. I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to have to get account to God. Therefore, I want to be faithful and line this thing upright with God. When it's all over with, that he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'd love to hear those words, wouldn't you? I know I'm going to have to answer to him as his child. So I want to do my best by his help. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you, Lord, for the truth and the reality that we can know that we're saved, but not only know that we're saved, but we can know that we're saved forever. And that we can know that, Lord, we have that security in Christ. We have deposited our soul, our very being, in the safe deposit of heaven, in Jesus Christ, in the blood of Christ. Therefore, no thief can break through nor steal. There's nothing can get to it. Lord, our salvation is secure. And I say thank you. And I want to praise you today. I want to give you glory. And say thank you, God, for salvation that's real and that's forever. Thank you, Lord. We're on our way to heaven. We're your army marching towards Zion. The day we say thank you and praise you. Father, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Lord, over the house. I pray the Holy Spirit would work. Maybe somebody here that they've been mixed up in doctrine. They'd like to come and just bow and say, thank you, Lord, for eternal salvation. Maybe they've never been saved. They don't know Jesus. They've been depending on the good works to get them to heaven. They thought they had to do something. God, I pray you'd help them see their need. We'll give you the glory for what you do. Then somebody here maybe be saved, know they're saved, know that letting sin in their life, they can't live in peace, don't have the joy, don't have that they need. Lord, some here today you're dealing with, I pray the Holy Spirit have his way. Father, magnify yourself in this invitation. Thank you again for your blessings. This invitation, I pray you rebuke the devil, the powers of evil. Thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.